You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome everyone to church. It's so good to see you. Welcome if you're online. Even though I can't see you, I'm just so glad that you're a part of our service this morning and being ministered to by our praise and worship and now the Word of God. I'm sure everyone is familiar with being in a waiting room. Let's have a think about a doctor's waiting room. We know that in a doctor's waiting room, there is a lot of activity going on. Sort of pre-COVID, you'd have people coming and going. You have people talking. You have people chatting with the receptionist, phones ringing. There'll be paper that might be printing or faxing off. While you're sitting there waiting for your turn, your appointed time to go into the doctor's. Have you ever had a situation or experience where someone has got into the doctor's before you, even though they came in after you? And you know what? That can leave you feeling a little bit frustrated. Like, what is going on? But then have you ever had a time when you've just got in there straight away? Anyone? That is a modern day miracle. Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing a lot of sermons about faith. Faith in the waiting room. Faith that opens doors. Faith of speaking God's promises over our lives. Faith that His word will come to pass. Speaking only what God says about you, your situation, your promises, your family, or your work, etc. You know, faith in the waiting room to keep holding on to God, keep trusting His word and declaring His word, staying on the course that He has set for you, even in the waiting time. In Genesis 1:2, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Spirit of God was hovering. What was He hovering over? The deep, the void, emptiness and darkness. There was no life. Have you ever felt like moments in your life where there's been a void, where you felt there's been emptiness? Even if we may feel like there is a void, we can be assured that it is an opportunity for God to move, to act and perform. In other translations of Genesis 1:2, it says He was moving. He is not complacent. He does not lack energy. He does not procrastinate. He is not a time waster. He is always moving. Even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel it in your emptiness, in your waiting room time, He is always moving on your behalf. You know, if I compare the Holy Spirit to me, we are the complete opposites. Unfortunately, I am a time waster. Unfortunately, I can procrastinate. Unfortunately, I can be stubborn and dig my heels in. But thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit is not like that. He is always moving on your behalf, even if you don't feel it, even if you don't see it, even if you don't feel like you're even experiencing it. He is always on the move. That is the God that we serve this morning. No, this was not by chance or by accident. This was deliberate. Holy Spirit being there was deliberate. He was waiting for God to speak. Then when God spoke, let there be light, it came to pass. Nothing is too difficult for our God this morning. In the natural, you may be experiencing pressures in your relationships, in your family, at work, or maybe in your finances. Maybe your emotions are heightened in this time of waiting. In the natural, it may seem like there's emptiness or darkness. You can't see clearly. What step do I take next, Lord? We may feel like we haven't heard from God or that we're really, really needing to hear from Him. In the natural, there may be barrenness or emptiness, seemingly no life. The promises maybe seem to be so out there. How can this ever happen? How can this ever come to pass? In the natural, we may feel like their promise is void or no longer an option, or maybe it feels like it's on the back burner. Avenues have been explored with no success. In the natural, in the waiting room, you may feel frustration and uncertainty. But the Holy Spirit is hovering over you and your situation, waiting for the right time, waiting for God to speak, and for us to keep speaking and declaring His word. The Holy Spirit responds to our faith. His presence is with you. His presence is with you. He is your comfort, He is your peace, and He brings calm into your uncertainty and your confusion. He is our protection. In Isaiah 41:10 it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, hovering speaks of Him hovering over us with His love and protection. You may feel like the promise is void, but He is hovering not only over you and your family, but He is hovering over the promise. He is not only protecting you, but He's also protecting the promise, because it's supernatural and it's because it's life from God. And that's why He's protecting it. In Isaiah 55:11, it says this, and we've heard this a few times recently, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I had sent." He wants to complete it. He wants to bring it to pass. His word will not return void. If He has said it to you, then it will come to pass. That is His promise to you and your family and your situation. He loves creating life, the God that we serve. That's why it's important in the waiting room to continue to declare His word. You know, years and years ago, before I came to Geelong, my friend and I had been both believing for husbands. And this one particular time, and I was at her house, and there was a certain gentleman that she'd been believing that God had laid on her heart for her. And because it wasn't my promise and God hadn't spoken to me, it wasn't like I was feeling it. I was happy to pray with her about it, but it wasn't like I was like, "Oh yeah, well, we'll just see what happens." And he had actually said, "You know, it's definitely not happening. I'm not interested. I'm not even attracted to you." So in the natural, you could say, okay, this is just a done deal. He's not feeling it. It's all done and dusted. And I was at her house one night, and she just happened to go to the toilet, and I was just sitting there, and suddenly there was just such an explosion in my spirit with God saying to me, "He is the one for her." And from that moment on, I could not shake it. Even if everything turned against us in the natural with praying for it, you could not shake me that I knew, that I knew, that I knew that He was the man for her. But there was still a journey in that. It didn't just happen the next day. I'd love to say to you, "Oh, all just was roses, you know, the sun was shining, the birds were singing, love was in the air." But no, it still took another 3 or 4 years. There was still a process we had to go for. We had the word. We had the word. The Holy Spirit was hovering. There, I am no doubt in my mind that He was moving on our behalf. But there was still a journey. There was still ups and downs. There was still a process that we had to follow. And, you know, and in that time, there was a moment where we both felt God say, "We just need to lay it down for now. We just had to stop praying about it." So we were obedient to God and His voice and His instructions. So up to that point, we'd been praying, but then we got the new instruction. So I said, "Okay, we take our hands off it for now, Lord. We don't know why, but You do. And we're going to just keep trusting You in the process and the journey." And then a year later, something happened. And I went to Belinda and I just said, "I feel like it's all back on." And she said, "So do I." So then we started praying for it again. And then I moved over to Geelong. And then about a year later, they got together. And I'm here to declare to you today that they got married. They have two beautiful children. Let me encourage you this morning. If God has said something to you, He will bring it to pass. There is still a process. There is still a journey. Let me encourage you, in the waiting rooms, there is ups and there are downs. But the Holy Spirit is with you. He is hovering over you. He is hovering over the promise because it is life. It has come from God and he will accomplish what he has set out to do. He is a miracle working God. He is working on our behalf and his promises do come to pass in the name of Jesus. What was our role in the waiting room? Declaring his truth and his promise and allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. Because you know what? He is the best at it. In the waiting room, you may feel like you are sitting and waiting for the appointed time. You may have experienced your appointed time. You may be sitting with someone and providing encouragement and prayer and support. And in that, I just want to look at the life of Abraham and Sarah, a very familiar story. And Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they were going to have a child. But it took 25 years for that promise to come about. 25 years of ups and downs in their faith journey. When we receive a promise from God, it usually brings excitement, and sometimes those promises can come about straight away, or they can take a really long time. It's not because God has forgotten. It is not because God has forgotten, but he also knows the right time. His timing is perfect. Sometimes we think, well, God, why can't you just move this situation? Why can't you just move that? Why can't you just change the detour to that way? But he knows everything. He sees everything. He knows when it's the right time to step in. He knows the right time to move and act on your behalf. And I know sometimes it gets a bit hard, but we just need to keep trusting him because his timing is perfect and his ways are perfect. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will happen in the name of Jesus. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry." We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Your word is comfort and peace to our hearts. It's like you're in the waiting room. Do you feel like you're in the waiting room this morning? You have received a promise from God, but nothing has happened yet. What was their journey like in the waiting room? What happened for Abraham and Sarah? In Genesis 16, it says, "Sarah goes to Abraham and says, 'The Lord has restrained me from having children.'" In other words, God has held back or withheld his promise of a child. "Maybe there are other ways that I can obtain children." Is that what God had said to them? No, he said that they would have a child. When the promise seems to stall, it can be easy for us to come up with our own plans to help God out. "Oh, God, I think you need a little bit of help here. You know, I've actually got this way. I've got this strategy. I've got this plan. Oh, you know what? I'm sure you need my help in this situation." It can be easy to start saying other words that are not according to his promise. For Sarah, because time was getting on, she was getting older, and she knew what was happening to her body, she came up with her own plan for Abraham to have children. She may have been thinking, well, clearly God is not working. Maybe he got it wrong. His timing is way off. I am just too old now. How can I have a child? We have to remind ourselves that God's timing is not our timing. We may feel the effects of the natural. We may feel the effects of time. We may feel the effects of our age, unfortunately. But God isn't bound by time. God isn't bound by the natural. The plans may seem to be a good idea, but is it the right direction God is wanting actually to take you? Well, the million-dollar question is, how do I know? You may have experienced this for yourself or have heard of other people's experiences. A couple of things that you and I can do this morning to make sure that we're following God's plan for our life is to go back to the last instruction that God gave you, or the last thing that he said, and make sure that you're doing it. If there is a specific thing that he's asking you to pray about, are you still doing it? And if you are, God bless you. But if you're not, I just encourage you, go back to his last instruction and keep declaring it over your life and your situation. Keep doing what he said to you until you get further instructions, because you know what? He will speak to you. If you are not sure, ask for his help and direction. Holy Spirit is our help and our guide, and he will always help us. He will always guide us and direct us and speak to us. He is with you to protect you and guide you. Continue to read the Bible and just see what God's saying. Seek godly and wise counsel. and continue in faith to declare what God has said over your life. And if you're still unsure, check your motivation. Does it come from a place of thinking God is too slow or not working on my behalf? Or is it coming from the motivation of, you know, Lord, I trust you, but I'm just not sure what to do next? Do you have a peace about it? I know sometimes when I'm uncertain, I get a bit of a queasy thing in my spirit happening. Or maybe there's just that feeling of uncertainty. And sometimes it's almost like a blockage. I just can't go there. Well, you know what? I've got to trust that. And trust that the Holy Spirit has shown me what I need to do and what steps I need to take. When it is something supernatural, we need to trust God and follow His instructions and not introduce a natural solution to a supernatural promise. God will definitely need us to activate things, but it needs to be according to His instructions and His timing and His word. Sarah introduced the idea and Abraham went along with it. So because of this decision, Abraham had a child called Ishmael by Hagar. What was the outcome of that decision that was made in the waiting room? Mixture was introduced. This was not God's original plan for them. And because of this, it caused attachment. Abraham became attached to Ishmael and Hagar. Sarah had become attached to the natural because she'd made her own plans. The good news is it didn't stop God from loving them or seeking relationship. And that's the good news for us this morning. God will still love you and He still seeks relationship with you because you are the apple of His eye. But because of this, they did have to make hard choices. What can occur when we try and help God out is that it can cause attachment. We can become attached to things that we were never ever meant to be attached to. So what is attachment? Psychology says it like this: attachment can be defined as a deep and enduring bond between two people in which closeness is pursued and there is a feeling of security in each other's presence. When we experience in relationships with our families and our friends. Attachments can be healthy or unhealthy. How do we know? If it helps us to feel comfortable in our unbelief and or stay in our unbelief, then it is not healthy. If it changes how we speak about God and His word over our life, it's not healthy. If it draws us away from what God has said, I'm sorry, folks, but it's not healthy. And ultimately, if it draws us away from God, it's not healthy. It's not that Hagar was a bad person, but for Abraham, the situation would have helped him stay comfortable in his unbelief. But it became a reminder to Sarah of the decision she had made, the plan that she came up with to help God out, her attachment to the natural, her attachment to her own plans and ways of doing things. We can form attachments to people or things that may not be healthy or beneficial to us. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says, Paul the Apostle said it like this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but not all things will edify me. Attachments can help us stay comfortable in the plans that we've made to help God out in His promises coming about. What happens when we take matters into our own hands in the waiting room? If we've taken matters into our own hands, what do we do? If we're feeling like we have an attachment that is not beneficial, what do we do? You know, let me encourage you, the Holy Spirit, like I've been saying, is with you. Speak the language of the Word of God. Declare the righteousness of God over your life and your situation. Be honest with God and tell Him what is going on. Be honest with yourself. Remember, He loves and cares for you and wants you to experience all His goodness, all His promises and what His word says about you. But it may mean making some hard choices and it may mean getting rid of some excess baggage. Removing things from your life so that you can move forward in your faith journey. When you get your bags weighed at the airport, if it's over that 20 kilograms, you know how they like to charge you. And sometimes we just need to let things go. We need to get rid of that excess baggage so that doesn't come back and make us have to pay for it later on. God's ways are perfect. God's timing is perfect. He has you in the palm of His hand and He will direct your paths. Abraham had to make the hard decision to let Hagar and Ishmael go. They went in a different direction where Abraham and Sarah were going. But you know what? In the waiting room, God still came and spoke to Abraham and Sarah again, and which is good news for us. God will continue to speak to us. In Genesis 18, they were told that at the appointed time, I will return to you and Sarah will have a son. And Abraham embraced that truth. And what was Sarah's response at that time? She was standing in the tent door listening. She was in that doorway of hope. She was in that doorway of choice to believe or not to believe. The men said that they would come again and she would have a child, and she laughed. She was beyond childbearing years. Her womb was dead. There was no life. She was old, and so was Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah denied laughing because she was afraid, so that's why she told an untruth. But the Lord called her out and said, but you actually did. But it wasn't to bring to shame to Sarah. It was to align her back to the truth that he was bringing to her right there. I need you to believe this. This is the truth. This is going to happen. And I'm not wanting you to feel shamed right now, but what I am wanting you to do is feel hope. Hope in me and hope in the promise that I've given you. You are going to have a child. Be honest with God. He has the right path for you. He has the right plan and promise for you. He always wants to align you to his truth and his ways. You've tried your way, Sarah, and it didn't work. Now we're going to try things my way. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Your womb is dead. There is no life. That's just a fact. You are old. You are past childbearing years. You tried it your way. Now I'm going to move on your behalf. Is there anything too hard for the Lord, Sarah? Holy Spirit was hovering over her dead womb. He was hovering over the darkness, the emptiness, waiting for God to speak at the appointed time to bring life from the impossible. That's the God that we serve. You know, faith needs activity from the spoken word. Holy Spirit was waiting for the Lord's word, and when he heard it, he performed it. He longs to hear our words of faith and declarations of truth. And when it was the right time, Sarah became pregnant with the promise and had a child, Isaac. Sarah had a real faith, had a real shift in her faith journey. One of being attached to the natural to now being attached to the supernatural. One of being attached to her own plans, but now being attached to God's plans and his ways for her life. One of being attached to her timing, but now being attached to God's supernatural timing and perfect timing for her life. One of being attached to hiding, now to being open with God and his ways. And in the end, being attached to God's goodness and seeing his miracle working power working on her behalf. The good news is that Abraham and Sarah still received the promise of the son, of their son. So even if you feel like in your journey, you may have made your own plans, you know, all you need to do is just talk to God about it. And he still honors his word because his word is so powerful and his word is truth. And you know what? The good news is they are still honored as having great faith in Hebrews. Aren't you glad about that? There will be ups and downs on our journeys, but we can still be honored for our faith in trusting God and declaring his truth over our hearts and our lives. And I just want to take this moment right now just to pray over everyone and before we come into a time of reflection. Lord God, we just thank you that your word is truth. We just thank you that we can trust your word and trust you, mighty God. And Lord God, wherever anyone is right now in their process of seeing the promises come to about, Lord God, I know that you are hovering over them, hovering with your peace and your protection this morning. And Lord God, when it's time, you will perform what you said you will perform, because your word is truth and we can trust in you and your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. This morning, if there is something that God has been speaking to you about in your waiting room, like Sarah, it might be an area of attachment that you need to shift in. I want to give you this moment right now, just to, if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes and just begin to have that conversation with the Holy Spirit. Is there something that I need to shift in this morning and seeing what your promises are for my life come to pass in the name of Jesus?